Storyworthy Media, the best in story-driven content.
Hey, it's Will Link, host of the Will Sean podcast, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to the Storyworthy podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finney.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we're coming to you from the Sanctuary near LAX in Los Angeles, California. This is a working dungeon.
A working dungeon. Well, what's the opposite of a working dungeon?
The closed off dungeon that the health department.
Does this have the live?
There are
news?
Dominants. There are switches. What else do we have here? Submissives.
Oh, I see.
This is where you go to fill out your S&M fantasies.
All right, so it's a
in
sex
a safe
club.
Environment.
And how old do you have to be to get in there?
20. I don't know.
21?
I assume
probably
21,
21.
Probably 21.
Is there alcohol involved in these sex clubs? Do you know?
That's a very good question. I doubt it because then they would have to – then you not only would have to have whatever license you have to have, you'd also have to have a liquor license. And why would you bother with that?
Liquor? I don't even know.
Liquor.
If you ladies come to and my, gentlemen.
You're going to my party? Poker in the front, liquor in the back.
Listen,
thank you.
I can't believe we haven't talked about S&M clubs before on the show.
Yes.
This
we've only mentioned
me.
That we have a friend who – started to work in as a spanking person.
Yeah, we have a friend who works in a dungeon, but we never actually talked about S&M clubs. Now, yes. Kevin Allison, we touched on it with him, but you can't really have a conversation with Kevin Allison without
right. He
talking
went to
about
a, he had a,
a
he
sex
went to
club.
A homosexual sex maze, I like to call it.
Oh, it you was, like to call it that?
Well,
isn't
no,
that
I was
it?
The one who realized it was a maze because he went in and he went through this basement and every 3 feet there was a cubicle with some other guy in it going, I got this going on.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, but our guest tonight, Will Link, he brings.
He is a pervert.
S&M.
He's a famous pervert. He's been arrested in the South many times.
I say
for his
people,
perverse activities.
What do you want to talk about? What story would you like to bring forth? He's the one that said S&M club. I didn't say that, Hannes.
No. We try to get people to talk about sexy things because that's what drives the numbers.
That's what drives
sex
the numbers.
And all breakfast right. cereals.
Okay,
in
so
the
to
Civil
be a
War.
Sadist is to enjoy inflicting pain onto others in a sexual way. That's the sadist.
Actually, I'm not looking at anything, but I think that. A sadist per se does not have to involve sexuality. In this context, sadism is involved.
Well, yeah, the topic of the show is S&M Club. This is the context.
Well, yes, exactly. But
and to be a masochist would be to enjoy being on the receiving end of the sadist.
Right.
So they like being,
but what
know,
kind of pain?
Whipped.
Is it pain?
Well,
is
being
it
whipped by
humiliation?
A crazy
is it
dominatrix would be painful, I think.
Yeah, that would be awful.
Don't you think?
God, that would be terrible for some hot chick and leather to me. I'm sorry, what? I lost my train of thought.
Well,
there
here's something I wrote down. Here's something I was thinking about as Will Link brought up the topic S&M clubs, you know, because I got to do my research, you know.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Sex is happening every minute of every day. You know what I mean, Andrew? Andrew's over there. I don't know what he's doing under the desk right now.
Yeah, he's having sex with his computer right now.
I'm not clear what's happening over there. But my point is some of those people are using S&M in their
right.
in various. I was going to say bedroom. Do you know what I mean? Makes me sound like I'm 100 years old. In the bedroom. But my point is you do these different things, but if you're being that intimate with somebody to actually be having sexual intercourse with them,
yes.
You should be able to ask them
to
or tell them.
To articulate what you're looking for.
That you would like a certain,
right, right.
A certain thing to
and
happen.
And not be like, yes. And this is, yeah. And then these categories cover a multitude of, you know, like people who work genuinely into actual pain and bloodletting and people who are just like, oh, the occasional spanking.
Bloodletting.
Or it's like,
oh
you know, very naughty. You know, it's like, you know, to some people, S&M could cover like, you know, you're a bad boy, you're a bad girl. And they're like, I did S&M last night. What'd you do? I told my husband he was bad and naughty. And then what? Then we had sex like we always do. Okay, see, that some people.
That sounds and other like people, the worst porno ever.
It's a Lifetime Channel porn.
But listen, if it's safe and it's consensual, who cares what people want to do? So if Kevin Allison wants to have somebody tie high top tennis shoes around his balls, then let him.
Right. That was that's what happened. And, you know, and yeah. And if Will Link wants to, you know, be tied up to and have sex with an elephant, that is not for us to judge.
So if he wants to play with food or with temperature or with hot
wax. If he would like to hang himself so he's almost dead so that his orgasm is enhanced, we don't judge here.
If he wants to spank, paddle, tickle, these are his choices.
Yeah, exactly. If he would like to, you know, have some type of like metallic rotator cuff with sharp spikes run up and down his body, that's not for us to judge. He's doing it right now.
Role playing, exploring fantasies, you know.
Yeah,
pain.
Exactly. If he wants to dress as a woman wearing the mask of the man in the iron mask from the famous novel of the 18th century, that's not for us to judge.
You
He's very literarily
image
perverted.
Still really haunts me is that one from Pulp Fiction of the Gimp in that leather
Gimp
mask.
In the outfit, yeah.
That is so upsetting. Now, again, if it's consensual and somebody, that's God bless them, you know, be on your way. But
well, I'm always, yeah.
I just have a hard time with that.
I can get into, actually, I've seen stuff on the internet where it's like, oh, that looks exciting. But I know I never actually do it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I feel like, and this sounds judgmental and I don't mean it to be, but there's a point at which you have to be extremely bored, it seems like, with sex.
Yeah, to want to put a ball gag in your mouth.
All the extras effort. Maybe it's just that I'm lazy. But it's a lot of effort.
Well, you have to keep upping your game. You have to keep upping your game. So you know what I mean. If you're comfortable with a ball gag in your mouth,
I haven't got to the point yet where sexual intercourse. I finish that and go, didn't do it for me. But you know, I don't know. People like things. But it's funny. Okay, so this made me think of, and the 50 Shades of Grey is the big movie, and it's making all this money. And it was a terrible book. There was one of the three books was at work, and I tried to read some of it.
Yeah.
It's the worst written thing in the history of the world. It's not just the worst written pornography I've ever read.
Yeah.
It was the worst written book, by which I mean you start a sentence, and by the end of the sentence, you don't know what's happening. It's that badly written that you could not – you could not read it.
Well, then what is the attraction? I mean, there must be an attraction.
I believe the same thing with the movie and the book. It's women in suburbia who don't want to admit that they want to read pornography or watch pornography, and this is their excuse.
I see.
Instead of just going to the source and going to a porn website where they know what the fuck they're doing when it comes to dirty.
Well, the movie got panned. I mean, the movie really
did not do
well
at all. There's no way the movie's
going
to be any good. The book was stupid.
I don't know.
I had read this article about people. They were interviewing people who were actually into the S&M scene. And they're like, what do you think of the movie? And they said, the movie's ridiculous because she like meets this guy. She doesn't really know him. And then it's like, well, why don't you come to my house and come into my dungeon? And she goes, okay. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's you looking to get killed.
Yeah.
That's not how – they have specific websites just like there's JDate and there's BlackPeopleMeet.com.
Why do you have to bring Jewish people into this?
No, I'm saying there's specific – there's JDate, there's BlackPeopleMeet.com, there's FarmersOnly.com.
No, I get it.
FarmersOnly, which is what
Christian
I
Mingle.
Say is just white people meet, but they can't call it that.
Right.
And it's like, no, you have this website. They meet people for coffee. They talk to them. What are you into?
Right.
Are you into this?
So you're saying
if, like,
the
if you're into rubber and I'm not into rubber, then we can't get together.
Yeah.
It's like they're not just wandering around.
50 Shades of Grey is off to begin with because of the way she meets him.
The people who are actually doing it are like, this has nothing
this
to do
not
with the reality of how this actually happens.
Yeah. Well, they're trying to do a fantasy. You know what I mean? In terms of like, you get swept off your feet. This guy takes you into his dungeon. There's a little whip play. I don't know.
Yeah. Just the mere,
the mere fact that
there's like, this guy is a billionaire who also happens to be incredibly handsome, 35 years old and in perfect shape.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what billionaires look like? Donald Trump. Now, if you want to be spanked by Donald Trump, that is a whole other level of perversion.
You know who we should have talking about this is
Kevin Allison.
Kevin Allison, of course. Susanna Brisk, Malibu Mom.
She writes about many.
She writes about sexual. All sorts of things, and she goes to a lot of different sex clubs, and she's got a lot of information on this.
Yeah, well, let's get her in here right now. You know, we're going to ask our guest to leave.
But for right now,
we don't care about him at all.
We
got the hot blonde to come in and tell us about her sex club.
Will Link, he's here, and
he's already here.
Talk to him in just a second. Have you heard his podcast? It's called Will Sean Podcast.
I have to admit that I have not, but I will allow him to spank me as punishment for not having heard it.
We'll see how that works out. But before Will comes on, we did want to remind you guys that if you'd like to support the Storyworthy podcast, here's what you can do. What can you do?
You can tie yourself up and send us a photo. No.
You can go to storyworthypodcast.com and there you'll find all sorts of information. You can simply tell your friends about Storyworthy. That helps. It's called word of mouth.
Just tell people. Tell people. For God's sakes, don't keep it to yourself.
And also, definitely keep the mail coming. We've been getting a lot of great emails lately. I know I keep passing them on to you, Hannes.
We've had many great emails. Usually they're complaining about one or both of us. I had one you sent me, this woman, okay, she complains about me. She spells my name wrong and then puts spelling, you know, the SP at the end of it. It's like, if you're going to bother to complain about me, could you look at the blurb that says my – it's right in front of you on iTunes.
In other words, above.
My name is right there.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Well, thought I was rude about something in a –
She thought that you were rude because you told that kid that it's like the thinning of the herd.
It was the guy came in here and he talked about being a drunk, and then there was some other about some college kid got drunk and died. And I said, well, it's just thinning the herd, and she thought that was rude.
That was pretty rude, man.
Yeah, but actually,
the point is, we enjoy getting your emails.
No, what I thought of when I heard that is like, if she really wanted to call me out, she could call me out that's a hack joke. Because that's everybody in radio or podcasting.
That's how you'd really
hurt
him.
That's thinning the herd. That's how you would hurt my feelings.
That's how you hurt Honest's feelings.
Yeah, yeah. Otherwise, I don't give a shit what you think. Also, if you not listen to the show, is that the point that I'm the asshole?
Yeah, see,
and Christine goes, oh, you shouldn't.
I'm America's sweetheart. Honest is the protagonist.
I am America's drunk uncle.
Ladies and gentlemen, Will Link is here. We're excited to hear his story. But one more reminder, do follow us on Twitter, @StoryWorthy.
Follow us on Twitter.
And Instagram.
It's the world we live in, people. There's nothing we can do.
When the power goes
out, we can go back to telegrams.
Wherever you are, stick around for Will Link. Next time on Storyworthy, we have comedian and host Jay Monopar.
And I'll be talking about the time I almost got kicked out of college.
That's next time on Storyworthy.
Shotgun Storyworthy is back.
Join us on May 16th. That's a Saturday on the main stage of IO West in Hollywood.
That's right. The show starts at 8 o'clock. It's only $5 to get in, and everybody can play the game.
It's an all-play, people. You can spin the wheel and tell a true one-minute story.
And the winner gets $50 cash plus a copy of Pit to LAX, My Storyworthy Life, my book that just came out, as you know.
$50 cash? I mean, a copy of your book? That's fantastic.
So come on down, you guys. IO West in Hollywood on the main stage, Shotgun Storyworthy, Saturday, May 16th.
Be there.
Hi, this is Susanna Brisk. My blog is at MalibuMom.com, and I am thrilled to be on Storyworthy.
And we're back. We have left the sanctuary, and we are now at the IHOP near LAX, and we're having trouble sitting down because we've all been spanked and whipped so much that we're having trouble. But blueberry pancakes are good for that.
Do you like the thermos thing they put down on your table for coffee at the IHOP? You like that or not?
I'm not a fan of the thermos thing because I don't care about coffee. However, I am a fan of the 6-syrup rack.
I hear what you're saying. My problem with the 6-syrup rack is my same problem as I have with the coffee pot, and that is that everybody's touching that. It's kind of like a hygiene thing. And so, like, in other words, I would like my cup of coffee on the table, and then you come along and pour my coffee in there.
So you don't have to touch the handle.
And when it comes to my syrup, I would just like it on the side. You put an appropriate amount in a small ramekin on the side. That's how I would like my syrup. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Ramekin, by the way, is the name of a service you can get at the sanctuary. If you really
ramekin.
Want to have it at ramekin.
It's over by the glass bottom boat.
It's by the glass bottom boat, exactly. The Danny Thomas section of the thank you. You know, nothing pulls in the ratings with the kids like a good Danny Thomas reference.
Poop in your pocket
that
reference.
That is where
See, no way.
Podcast
Andrew,
gold.
Do you know what he's talking about right now?
Do you even know who Danny Thomas is?
Danny Thomas.
Is it the glass coffee table thing?
No, it's the Danny Thomas.
Do you know who Danny Thomas is?
No.
Okay, do you know Marlo Thomas? Phil Donahue.
I know Phil Donahue.
The cancer thing. Do you like? Do you? Are you opposed
Danny
to that?
Thomas was a very famous comedian and actor.
I'm completely in the dark.
He's very famous. He was on a show called Father Knows Best.
Right.
I've heard the title.
Okay. And he was America's dad. He also famously, supposedly, for legal reasons, supposedly, really, speaking of offbeat sexuality, he enjoyed what they call scat play. He enjoyed poop.
In his pocket.
Famously would carry around a fresh poop in a plastic bag in his pocket.
To feel it.
To just feel it or smell it on occasion.
To have comfort.
And again, this is as if it were like, this is America's dad. Now, we don't even know if this is true, but everybody in Hollywood has heard the stories.
Because
of the
juxtaposition
of the two extremes.
That's exactly
right. Yes, exactly, exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Therefore, never order the Danny Thomas when you go to the sanctuary. This is what I'm saying.
Will Link is here right now.
Marlo Thomas is going to sue us for all the money we have, and we have no money at all.
Will Link is the co-host of the pop culture podcast, Will Sean Podcast. And when I say Will Sean Podcast, you don't even know how I'm spelling it or what I'm saying, do you, Hannes?
Spell it for me.
Will, W-I-L-L.
That was a good
like
one.
Our guest.
I got that part.
Sean is the middle part, S-E-A-N. Will Sean Podcast. So you
there's
say,
so many ways
Will
to spell
Sean,
Sean and almost none of them have anything to do with the way you pronounce it.
No, but this is Will Sean Podcast. So there's two men doing one show and both their names. It'd
really?
Be like the
it could be two white guys or one black guy. Will Sean.
The Christine Hannes Podcast. He's also is a host on the AfterBuzz TV show Orphan Black. And we were just talking
Orphan
about
Black,
that.
Orphan Black. We were talking
so
about Orphan Black.
About.
It's from BBC America. Awesome show. It's one of those, you know, the kids, the nerdy kids, by which I mean everybody I know who's 35 and up. What if you like Doctor Who or you like, what's the other one, Torchwood, which was the...
You're losing me.
Yeah, I know. You're not into these kind of things.
Will Link is a storyteller who does so many stories around town, Hannes. Now, this is...
People are literally sick of it.
Well, no, but
they see his name on a marquee and they go, fuck it, I'm going home.
There's
I can't
a storytelling
listen to this
scene
anymore.
Happening in Los Angeles, and Will Link is a part of it. That's my point. The Pez Show, Taboo Tale, Sit and Spin, all those things down at Muse. He's out there in front of Muse right now. He's out there singing and
I
dancing.
I know. Muse, just... Enough already.
You can find
with
him
Muse.
On Twitter at the real Will Link because apparently there's somebody out there.
Wait a minute. Are you famous enough that there are fake Will Links?
Him.
This is awesome. Wow.
So he's
look
at
that.
The real Will Link. All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Will Link.
I was at my friend Sean's birthday party, mingling with acquaintances I see just once a year. One such acquaintance was a rough-looking Israeli girl named Maya. It had been years since I saw her, so she asked how I'd been. Still trying to sell scripts? Still working at E? Still drinking at Sardo's? Yes, yes, and yes. Pathetically, nothing had changed in my rut of a life. Then I asked what she'd been up to. I spend a lot of time hanging out at a dungeon. Like an S&M dungeon? Yup. Immediately, this awful girl became a million times more interesting. I've always had a non-judgmental interest in sexual deviancy. However, despite my strict policy of being willing to do anything a woman wants me to in bed, I never experienced many of these kinks firsthand. Sadly, I dated vanilla girls. I began asking question after question. What goes on there? What's the clientele like? Where do you get zoning for a dungeon? Maya suggested, rather than explain this herself, I should come down to the club and meet her friend Nikki, who worked as a switch. I proudly already knew the lingo. A switch is a person who gets off on being both the dominant and submissive. Good for them. This was a functioning dungeon. You make an appointment with a dom or sub and create a scenario in which you beat her or she beat you, resulting in sexual gratification. Now, no actual intercourse takes place. They are there to service a specific kink that a man might not normally be able to engage in. They're doing the Lord's work. On Saturday nights, the place opens up to the public, no appointment necessary. It's a regular club with drinks, dancing, and lots of spanking for all to see. These nights had themes. Ours was wartime pleasures. Since all my wartime pleasure clothes were at the cleaners, I wore a black t-shirt and jeans. Sean decided to come along, and we planned on meeting Maya in front of the warehouse-sized building. Admittedly, we were nervous about going in. We imagined pitch black, pounding music, and sweaty androgynous men trying to whip us. Sean asked, "Are people going to touch me? Because I have boundary issues." I said no, but I thought, yes, they're going to touch him. As we waited, a man walked by in a full SS uniform. Wartime pleasures. We felt like tourists, me in my T-shirt, Sean in his shirt sleeves. Then I noticed someone walk in wearing a Dodgers jersey. Suddenly, as Maya arrived, I felt more at ease. The front area was reception. At a desk, an attractive older woman sat collecting cover charges and asking first-timers to sign a release form. It basically stated if I was being whipped and had a heart attack, the club was not liable. Fair enough. We signed our lives away and were given gold laminated membership cards, making us feel like part of an exclusive club for perverts and weirdos. We entered the S&M club. To our surprise, it wasn't dark or loud. It was well lit and the music was fairly low. Of course, you need light to properly whip someone and low volume to hear safe words being screamed in desperation. In the main room, swing music played and women dressed in fetishistic USO outfits danced. There were lots of gorgeous topless women walking around. There were also lots of not-so-gorgeous topless women because the world of BDSM is not body judgmental. There were also lots of out-of-shape, bottomless men, many of whom had their penis and scrotum tied tightly together. I heard the sounds of whips cracking, of screams and moans. Off to the side, there were half a dozen smaller rooms. That's where the action was. Maya approached with Nikki the Switch, busty wearing nothing but a tight corset. Nikki introduced herself and offered to give us a tour. For her, this wasn't some hobby, a way to let off steam after a grueling 9-to-5. Being a switch was her 9-to-5. We'd be sent to HR for relieving sexual urges at work. Not Nikki. Her job requires it. We wandered from room to room. A man was strung up, naked, clothespins attached to his body as a woman whipped him Passion of the Christ style. We had a nice conversation about the film 500 Days of Summer with an elegantly dressed dominatrix who was walking a naked man like a dog. Occasionally he tried to wander off, causing her to pull hard on the leash, apologizing for his disobedience. Everyone was so welcoming and friendly. In one room, a naked woman was tied to a chain-link spiderweb as a statuesque blonde flogged her. Next to the scene, a nerdy man sat quietly in the corner reading a book. This sight caused Sean to declare this the banality of sexuality. We entered the largest room to see a giant birdcage attached to an elaborate pulley system. I understood. Naked and humiliated, you'd sit in the cage being pulled to the ceiling high above for all the world to see your shame. Nikki asked if I wanted to get in. Of course I did. I stepped in the cage, fully clothed, mind you, and was hoisted up. It was fun, like a carnival ride. I waved down at the clubgoers, and they waved back up at me. That was great, I said. Yeah, when you're in there, I can't get at you with my whips or crops. That's when I break out my cattle prod. You have a cattle prod? Like a kid at Christmas, Nikki the Switch's eyes lit up. I just got a brand new cattle prod. She ran over to her bag of toys and pulled out a small black handheld device with two pointy metallic pieces jutting out at one end. Can I cattle prod you? I hesitated. I don't know. It doesn't hurt. My face dropped in skepticism. She walked it back. It hurts a little, but not as bad as you think. It's like a hard pinch. I debated this. To be cattle prodded or not to be cattle prodded. Nikki explained she was a professional and that every toy she owned she used on herself first to know how it felt. In fact, earlier that day, she had cattle prodded her vagina. Feeling like a vagina, I politely declined. She then turned to Sean, who, not having the same internal debate as me, quickly said no. Disappointed, she slowly put her prod away. Nikki continued to be our guide, but I couldn't stop thinking about the cattle prod. Here I was in an S&M club trying to have an adventure. Now this girl, who's been a wonderful host, asked to cattle prod me and I say no. Suddenly I started to feel like I was being rude. Nikki, the switch seemed so sad. I could tell she was really hoping to electrocute someone tonight. It really doesn't hurt? Surprise, she perked up. Just a hard pinch on your ass. Okay, you can cattle prod me. Delighted, she grabbed her bag of toys, searching for it. You know, you're gonna have to pull down your pants and underwear. I don't care about taking my pants off. I do care about being electrocuted. Down went the pants, and she gripped her prod. My genitalia exposed to the world and to Sean, who for the sake of our aggressively heterosexual friendship has never commented on this detail of the night. I bent forward against the wall, nervous. Then, zap! A hard pinch followed by an electrical current raging through my ass. And you know what? She was right. It only hurt for a second. It wasn't bad. No, I'm not saying I got sexual pleasure from it, but it was exciting. I was filled with a proud, adventurous spirit. Do you want to cattle prod me? Nikki asked. This somehow made me more nervous. I'm not qualified to cattle prod anyone. Nikki was a professional. I was just some schlub having a sexual awakening. I guess so. She handed me the device. What do? I jabbed the prod forward in a stabbing motion. God, no, she yelled. You just gently at an angle touch the skin on the undercarriage of my ass. Having no pants to take off, she bent over. Carefully, I held the prod, placing it closer and closer to her butt. Zap! I did it. She seemed very pleased. This was far from my last trip to the S&M club. My level of future involvement is best left for another story, but it did get me out of that rut. I met new people, and instead of writing, working, and drinking, I could throw bondage into the mix. Best of all, Nikki the Switch became a close friend, because apparently nothing bonds two people like an electrical current.
Okay, so how many times have you been to the club since?
Okay, too many to count.
Really?
Yes.
Always the same one?
It's always the same one, and it is the one that you were at earlier before we came to this IHOP.
Oh, that's the only one I ever heard of.
It's, okay. Sanctuary. But at the time of the story, it was called Passive Arts.
Passive Arts?
Yeah.
Passive Arts.
I like that better.
That sounds so not passive, if anything.
Well, no, I didn't quite understand the name, and I felt like it was probably
You're right,
some,
it should be Aggressive Arts.
Yeah, I felt like it was probably
pushing the arts.
Some lingo I didn't understand, and
so
I never quite asked.
So you still have the same gold card?
Well, unfortunately. What happened was, to tell a quick side story, there was a guy who worked at Passive Arts, Dave the House Slave. I didn't know him. I didn't know him or a lot of the people who ran it, but he got fired and he was disgruntled and he went to Passive Arts and he murdered the owner and set the building on fire.
Well, that puts a damper on everybody's fun.
Yeah. So then years...
What room would that be in?
I know.
That's in the fireplace.
That's really, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's terrifying.
So
then the club had to close?
It closed down for about a year, and then it reopened as Sanctuary. Somebody bought it.
The same building they gutted it?
How long ago is this, do you think?
That's got to be like 2009, maybe?
That's terrifying. That could be like a horror room right there.
The guy got fired from being the house slave. That's got to piss you off.
But I can't even
be a slave?
Yeah, but you'd think he'd be used to it in terms of the degradation.
Yeah, I know. It's funny because he went completely from being a slave to being proactive and murdered a guy. So it's like, Jesus
He should
Christ.
Be looking for the abuse of being fired.
I know,
So is he in jail?
Yeah, I got to admit, I don't know too much about the details of the case, but yeah, he went to jail.
And who owns it now?
This woman,
Rush Limbaugh,
Mistress Cyan, I believe her name is. I don't really know her.
And so how many times have you been? 10, 20, 30?
let's say in the 20s.
And how much does it cost to get in?
Well, luckily, I have made friends with a lot of these dominatrixes, so they put me on the guest list if they're having a party.
That's nice, yeah.
Which, by the way, that's how you get around, I believe, the drinking thing. You call it a private party.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
So that's why they have a bar, because I heard you mention earlier.
So there is a bar.
There is a bar.
But if it's a private party, then you don't need a liquor license.
Yeah, so that's how
it is. You're a bartender, okay, or is it just like some two-buck chuck on the table?
There's a bartender, but it's usually one of the girls who works down there just tending bar that night.
How many people work in the club? How can you tell who's working and who's not?
That was another thing that when I first started going, because when
Oh, that's a good question, yeah.
I started.
Thanks, Hannes.
Because if they're all half naked.
Do they have to wear name tags?
At the parties, everybody's just, no one's actually on the clock. They're just there hanging out, having a good time. So I guess it doesn't matter that. But I always was down there, and I'm like, does this girl work here? Does she not? I also, the other thing that always drove me crazy was I wasn't sure how, like, if you see an attractive girl there, how do you hit on her at the S&M club? Because my fear would be that she'd want to do something to me that I was not prepared to have done, or vice versa. She'd want me to do something to her that I was not prepared
to
do.
Will, you've already been cattle prodded. I mean,
that's true.
The line is behind you.
Believe me, the line is still far ahead.
How much does it cost to get in that club if you didn't know the dominatrix?
I think about, it depends on what the party is, I think $10 to $20.
Oh, now, that's abuse. $20.
Don't you think
$20 is a bit much.
Didn't you feel like the first time you went, or when you see anybody who's fully dressed, don't they stand out like they
Yeah, like
look,
a person wearing a swimsuit at a nude beach.
No,
you know, stand out more than
I would say a lot of people who would, well, you know, they have these parties, so people dress up in these real elaborate costumes sometimes. So people are like.
Like sexy time costumes.
That's
what I call it,
sexy time. I know. That's how perverted, that when she wants to get perverted with her man, she goes, can we have sexy time later?
It's like, who's my man?
Oh, you horrible.
Let's get into this. Who's my man?
Dozens. There's so many. There's so many.
Well, it all depends on the part. Like my friend Mistress Tetra throws parties down
Andrew
there.
I think Andrew knows her.
I think I've seen you down there. But
it's like Tetris, but it's you're building a penis. You're not building a block of.
Go ahead. She'll
have like theme parties, like she'll have like a Star Wars theme.
Then you have
party,
to be in sexy Star Wars.
Sexy Star Wars.
Not do that. Sexy Star Trek, okay, but Star Wars.
What about like a sexy hospital night, and then everybody comes as a doctor or a
there
nurse?
Is like a there, one of the rooms off or to the side has a hospital theme to
oh,
it.
Sure.
Has like a doctor theme to it.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I thought of while you were telling the story is like, see, the thing is, you don't want to, you know, the reason the general doesn't want to judge people is like, whatever it is they're doing there, it's like whatever anybody else is doing in their bedroom, it's like somebody is always going to think you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it can be like there are people who are like, well, you can have sexual intercourse with a woman, but it has to be missionary. If it's doggy style, then you're doing something against God and you're wrong. It's like somebody will always find
There's
something
always
wrong.
Gonna be a
and the slippery slope is you can't start with if people can't get dressed up in rubber, that's wrong. But what this guy does is okay and what I do is okay. It's like, no, somebody's always going to be telling you did something wrong.
As long as it's always – I've never judged – as long as it's consensual, I've never judged anything anybody's done.
Yeah.
And I think you were talking before about the Why 50 Shades of Grey, the book, beyond just it was an excuse for like Midwestern housewives to be exposed to – they all want to do something like this and they just don't have the guts to step out.
What should the beginner do?
Exactly.
Tell the beginner out there, how do you even begin to think about going to an S&M club? Or do you call it an S&M club or do you call it a sex club?
I call it an S&M club.
So what's
the first
step?
Actually, it would be illegal, right? I mean, if you hired someone to have sexual intercourse with them, that's prostitution. You can't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you said, that can't happen there.
I mean, what's the first step? You look online and you see where there's one and then you call for hours.
Yeah, like I said, I've only been to Sanctuary, but because they have these parties and stuff like that on Friday and Saturday nights, it's a good place to go to kind of see and like feel it out and see what you like. Because I've been there and you've seen like a whole bunch of like guys from their fraternity have come down and they're watching things. Or, you know, you see or couples who just come down there and they're checking things out.
How many people are in the Sanctuary at a time?
It all depends on the night.
50, 100, 200.
I've been there where there have been probably close to 100 people. I've been there when there only seemed like there were about 30 people down there.
And how long do people stay?
You can stay that it'll close. I mean, what are the hours? The hours for the parties are from – I'm like a commercial now. It's interesting. They're from 9 to about 2 a.m.
Like 9 p.m. Regular,
yeah, for the parties.
So
yeah.
this isn't a happy hour thing.
No. But if you want to make an appointment –
do you ever run into somebody, like you run into a storyteller or a comic and you're like, oh, hey, man, what's going on, Will?
I once ran into a guy. He doesn't work in the same department at me and my job, but he works in the same building.
Oh. Yeah.
And I saw this guy there.
So then what?
Well, I didn't know him too well, but we recognized each other. And nothing happened other than I went back to work and I said, hey, you know who I saw at the – because I'm very open with all this stuff. Right. I don't care. So I'm like, you know who I saw at the S&M Club? Yeah. I saw that guy who delivers the tapes into our room every day.
So what are things that you've seen there that you think – I'm not taking part of that. Like where's the line drawn?
Well, they sometimes do like a challenge of where like they bring people on a stage and like it's almost like who can withstand the most – and like I don't particularly want to be beaten to the point where it's just like, you know, I'm actually not that into the blunt paddling or anything like that.
Yeah,
like
that's right. So if there's a safe word involved, you don't want to get to the point where you have to use that.
Yeah. You mentioned bloodletting, but there is things where people are like cutting people. There are things where people – there's like a fire element to it.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't heard of the fire one. I've heard of the other thing.
I've seen people like they'll like – I don't know. I don't know what they're putting on the people's skin, but then they'll like have these gloves and have fire over it and like
– fire over their skin.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I don't know this at all.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've seen that go down. I wouldn't do that.
Do you see intercourse happening?
Although there's not necessarily supposed to be intercourse, I once or twice have seen it happen.
Have you taken?
I like how you.
No,
said,
I haven't.
You
had.
Went right to the side of your mouth there. I don't know if they could hear it, but you suddenly went to talking.
I don't know if there's.
Well, not supposed to be intercourse.
I don't want
to
throw Sanctuary under the bus.
Okay,
but
if you've seen it happen,
yeah.
But
so let's say it's not intercourse.
I have not had sex.
But people are getting off, or they're not getting off.
People are getting off, I guess.
Are people having orgasms?
People have to be having orgasms. In fact, yes, no. People are definitely having orgasms.
Okay, they are.
I've seen women having orgasms.
Yeah,
there.
You can fake it, though. I'm telling you, women.
Yeah, I. Some
fake
of these
it like nobody's business.
Some of these, I'm pretty sure we're going down.
We're happening.
I was paying very close attention.
Well, my friend Susanna, you know, she has this multiple thing going on where she can have like 20 to 30 orgasms in one situation.
This is fantastic.
I know.
This is the greatest
woman that ever
walked the face of the earth.
That's why I have so many questions, because I'm intrigued. Of course I'm intrigued. I mean, if to say you wouldn't be intrigued, I think you'd be a liar. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think – but it's funny because you mentioned there's like – there's hot people semi-naked, and then there's people who look like the rest of us who are – walking around, and you're like, and that does feel like judgmental, like you're not hot enough to be naked. It's like, well, who am I to tell you you're not hot to be? I'm like,
exactly.
There's a reason I'm not walking around naked, but
that's the thing about it. For a scene that's like very, like you said, people are like abused to a certain level for pleasure. It's very supportive. Like everyone really is. You go down. If you went down there, if you guys went down there this Friday night and started chatting people up, they'd be happy to talk. They'd be happy to have you there.
That's part of the article I was talking about that I was reading, where they were talking about people who were into the scene about the 50 Shades of Grey thing and like how the, you know, it's like they were like the shame idea of it is part of the thrill, but we're not actually ashamed of it.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if there's an open mic at a lot of these clubs. You know,
that
I mean?
Would be the one thing you could get these people to be judgmental about would be stand-up comedy. This guy there with his balls and advice, he's like, "You suck! You're not funny!"
I think I'm going to suggest to them we do
that
an open
would
mic
actually
mic
be
there. I
could
host
the most abusive thing that would ever happen would be an open mic.
Have you ever gone to a nudist club?
No.
Do you know Tim Chismar?
No.
Tim Chismar. He's a nudist. We've had him on the show. Right. And he's into a lot
of
these.
That's a whole other.
Parties and things. I know. Where it's a whole other.
That's a different
issue.
Is nudism.
I see people who go there and the first thing they do is just take off all their clothes and they're walking around.
I see.
Like,
yeah, like Nikki the Switch.
Just,
she had no clothes on.
She had no pants on. She had some sort of like. I don't know.
She was naked with a bustier, which is a good look.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, ladies,
but
always a good look.
Yeah, pantless. I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
I'm with you on
that. You can't go wrong with that.
Really? You don't have a pantless thing?
Well, I'm just saying the bustier
Oh, the Bustier. I thought
Bustier,
you said pantless.
And nothing else. That's got a good look for any lady.
Oh.
That's a good look for you.
Interesting. No, I didn't
realize that. You know, I think like a woman wearing like a shirt and no pants would just be a little weird.
So what about a bustier and a thong?
Or, sure. You know, if you're gonna be a grandma about it.
Yeah, if you're gonna be all
all, you know, what did you just land on the Mayflower, Miss Thong?
No, I'm just asking. So would you – I'm just curious at these clubs.
Oh,
would you just put on some nipple clamps and order a beer?
Yeah, I guess – I mean, that's not necessarily my thing, but yeah.
I see.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's funny.
And then when you're sitting there, you talk about traffic. You just talk about –
Well, that was the thing that really blew my mind.
You just reminded me of something. Go ahead.
But I did end up at one point meeting a girl down there who I dated for a little while, which is why I think I could have started going a lot for a little bit. And she – when I first met her there that night, she was tied up and Nikki the Switch was like flogging her and stuff. But we were still engaging in like getting to know your chit-chat. Like
wow.
She's getting flogged and she's like, oh, where'd you go to school? She's like, oh, yeah, I live in the Valley. You know, like
see,
things like that.
I would not want to be that unaffected though. I mean, I don't want to say I'm a prude, but that just seems to me like – like if you really started dating her and you had a relationship, then it would be like, hey – You still go down to the sanctuary Friday night, or do you want to go to the movie with me?
Yeah, but what kind of an asshole guy would you be to be like suddenly start complaining?
Well, not
like, hey, I don't want you going down to the place where I met you, where the woman was whipping you. I don't want you to go down there.
You can't do that. I'm not. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But that's like saying, yeah, okay, go ahead.
Well, you want to know what? It's funny because I mean, we would go on regular dates, and she was a sub, and. The reason why
a substitute teacher,
exactly. She's molding the young minds of today.
Yes, exactly.
But she
every time she walked into the sanctuary, she would put a movie in.
Wait,
in
so
the
what does it mean? She's a subservient. So
she was submissive.
She was submissive.
She was sexually submissive and stuff like that.
Okay.
But then, what I didn't realize in dating her, she was submissive like in every way. And I don't think a lot of people like, but she was in every way. Like we'd go to a movie and we'd walk out, and I'd be like, "What do you think of it?" And she was, "I didn't really like it." And I was like. Well, I loved it, and here's why. And then she'd go like, no, I guess you're right. And I'm like, no,
fight me on
this. Like, there's a thing we can argue about. And she was like that with everything, and that's really why it didn't work out.
And that's not even fighting. That's just being a human being.
Exactly.
And like, would you just be yourself and just give me your opinion, for Christ's sakes?
Yeah. You know, it's fun to argue about little things like that.
Yeah, well, it's not even arguing. Again, it's just like
Christine,
a discussion.
Exactly.
But she can't even talk for herself.
You saying about traffic reminded me of something I thought of, which is many years ago, Christine and our little group of people. We watched this movie, I believe, and it was about swingers. It was about middle-aged Midwestern swingers.
But they were in Orange County, actually.
Orange County. Okay, but just middle American, I mean to say. Middle American swingers.
Yeah.
And these people would get together, and there'd be all these people. None of them looked like models. And they would all get together and have, and this was in the film, they're all having sex together in like 15 mattresses.
In somebody's house.
And then,
at
somebody's
house.
And
then,
after that's all done, they're just sitting around, and all they kept talking about was the traffic and the 405 and trying to get down to Orange County. And it's like,
anywhere.
Just going to be. It doesn't matter if you're getting together to play poker or you're getting together to have sex with a bunch of other people's wives in some sort of sling. You are eventually just going to be talking about traffic.
It's just a little chit-chat that you're always going to have no matter what situation.
Especially if you live in L.A., it always comes down to traffic. That's sort of a regional thing for L.A. Let me ask you this. What was that birdcage in the sky and you went up there in your clothes?
I was wearing my clothes in that because
it seemed like you were cheating, frankly. I mean,
you were talking about like a Japanese swing or something.
But
it was like a birdcage.
And it just hoisted up to the ceiling. And I guess some people just want to be humiliated and sit in a cage naked. You know, sometimes you just need that.
Wow.
See, but that to me, here's what I would be thinking. I was thinking like at a bad carnival. When was the last time somebody checked the pulley? And how well is it anchored into the ceiling and it's going to hold my weight?
This is what you're going to think about in sex club.
I thought about that a little bit after the fact.
I know.
Like, oh, is this the safest?
Are there mattresses around in the club, in the S&M club, like mattresses?
Well, there are different places to like there's like a bed that you could be tied down to while somebody's doing stuff.
Does anybody just like make out and say nice things to each other?
People making out. Well, like I said, you know what? The positive with that girl who was getting flogged while we were having chit chat, the second she was done getting flogged, she had all this pent up sexual energy and she came over to me and she was like, do you mind if I just make out with you now? And I was like, Why not?
Yeah, whatever. Well, this is something
else.
It
was great.
Well, you don't look like the kind of guy as well. You look, you vaguely
resemble Leonard Hofstadter from The Big Bang Theory.
Okay.
You have the same glasses.
Okay,
same haircut.
Well, you know what? I think when I perform this story on like stage and stuff, I think that helps get an extra laugh that they don't expect that, I'm the guy who's going to be talking about. And, you know, look, here's the thing. It's just, you know, something to try. You could go on a Friday night, you go bowling, you go to the movies, or you could go to an S&M club.
Do they have food there? Did I ask you that?
Yeah, you know, I've never eaten the food there.
Popcorn? What's the fare?
There's like, they put stuff on the table. Yeah, like chips stuff.
Yeah. On the rare occasion I've been to a strip club, and that's really rare, it's like there's a buffet, and you're like, I don't know about the... If this is their number one priority, is the cleanliness of the utensils. Well,
speaking of strip clubs, Sean.
Oh, I wanted to ask you about that, yeah.
Well, he talked to somebody at his job. He told him, I went down to this S&M club. And the person's like, why are you telling me this? And he goes, well, it's just like if you went to a weird strip club. And he goes, why would you tell me if you went to a weird strip club? Like, why are you telling me
it's
this?
It's true. It's not like I went to the dentist or I went to the veterinarian and I was at the bank. I wanted to ask you about your friend. So you podcast with Sean.
Yes.
And he has seen you in a birdcage with no pants on getting prodded.
He
has seen your penis. Let's get down to it.
Okay, let's be honest here. I've brought down a lot of people to this club because they wanted to hang out and see. And a lot of people have seen my penis now.
Okay.
So this isn't
a big deal anymore.
Is
it a big deal?
Completely average deal.
My body is like soft and hairy, and yet I have no qualms with exposing it to anyone
that's
who wants
nice.
To see it.
That's great.
So that's
awesome. Okay.
That's my take.
All right.
But
and how about Sean? Is he that feel that way or
no? Sean is very like Sean. Sean goes down there. He's been down there occasionally for parties, but he's never engaged in anything.
He just watches. Is he married?
No.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if he was in a relationship, if then privately he would incorporate some of this stuff. Because I believe he bought a pair of vampire gloves.
What are vampire gloves?
These are the kind of things I like. They're these gloves with these tiny little spikes on them. And they're good if someone could run them down.
Ripping.
Someone could run them down your
rock climbing.
But if they run them down on you or grab you with them. So I got these tiny little... I like that, and I like the little, kind of long knife-like nails people could... Because I kind of like scratching.
I think I like scratching
and low levels of electricity.
Cat scratch fever.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting.
And now I can never run for political office.
You really do have a cadence in your voice like Kevin Allison. Have you heard Kevin Allison on Risk, the Risk podcast?
Yeah.
He does sound like him. And not the story, but just the quality of his voice goes up and down, and there's a thing.
Is it a New York thing? Where are you from originally?
I'm from Long Island.
That's New York thing. But Kevin's from Cincinnati, Ohio, but he lives in New York. And he's really a New York guy. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, we got this all worked out.
Yeah.
It's good. You can put your pants back on.
Listen, you want to play some Shotgun Storyworthy?
Why not? Let's give this a go.
Music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the storyworthy wheel of truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
Fish. I have no fish stories to speak of, but I did go fishing once. I was in Idaho. I have family in Idaho, and they're always trying to get me to come out there to visit them again. But I obviously don't, because who wants to spend a week in Idaho, you know?
Yeah.
And if they hear this, they'll probably be upset. But if they hear this, they're going to be upset about a whole bunch of other things about me anyway. So it doesn't matter. But I did go fishing once there, and it was at the crack of dawn. It's also the only time I went camping. And we were out on a boat, and I sat there for hours, and I caught nothing. So... semi-anticlimactic fishing experience. But, camping, all that stuff. They're too outdoorsy there. I'm like city mouse. I need to live in a city and call it a day. No camping, no country.
All right.
No country.
Now listen.
That was more of a ramble than a story.
No, but this was perfect. That's why we love Shotgun Storyworthy, because you landed on fish.
And you stated, I have no fish stories.
And then
let me tell you the time I went fishing.
You see what I mean? Of course you have a fish story.
I had a fish experience.
And now I feel like I know so much more about you. You're not the camping guy.
No.
By the way, was that a fly fishing experience, or were you dropping a line off a bridge?
We were sitting in a boat.
Oh, sitting in a boat.
Yeah, I cannot comprehend the person who sits in a boat on a constant basis drinking beer and looking at water and not catching fish.
Honest, you don't get it.
It's unbelievable.
It's not about
me.
That. No, I love fishing. There's a calmness and a peace that comes over you when you can just sit and be calm and you don't
know
what's going to happen.
That's what television is for.
So, yeah. You don't know what's going to happen. Is there going to be a fish on your line? What's that tug? You see what I mean?
God,
you don't even know.
Bored even that's, listening
I'm,
to that.
I'm
One
with
time,
you.
I dated this guy, and we go up to Whidbey Island, which is on like outside of Seattle. These beautiful, the outer banks of Seattle. So lovely outside of Washington State. And we went around in this boat, and we would drop crab nets. And then and then you'd have a buoy on the end of the crab net, so you know where you dropped the net.
Okay.
And then the next day, we'd get back in the boat, and we'd paddle out, you know. And then you'd pull up the rope. Is there, what's in there? What's going to be
what
in there?
What did I murder?
It's so exciting.
So it's like.
No, you did nothing. Everything's alive in there. They're under the water.
What are you
pull
going
it up.
To suffocate
what's in there?
By
what's
pulling
in there?
It into the boat?
And hopefully, you know, it's some crab. Or it could be like.
I'll get in the boat and I'll look at the water.
Yeah.
The fishing part is completely pointless
lovely.
To me.
It's lovely. It's lovely.
Yeah,
We have evolved to the point where I don't need to get the crabs. Somebody else's job is to get
the
crabs.
I'll go to a seafood restaurant. That's my idea of adventure.
Well, yeah. I hear what you're saying, but there's another side to it. But see, here we go. Shotgun Storyworthy. I know the kind of guy
you
are.
You just made me think of
because of your fish story.
We have time, I think, for it.
What?
Okay, there was somebody talking about what we need. Okay. Like hunters.
Were we talking about that?
No.
We're always talking about what we need.
There's somebody on Facebook, and their husband put up a picture of them with this like beautiful like elk or something, and they're holding it up, smiling, and they've killed it in the back of the truck.
Yeah.
And I just was feeling, and I'm not a PETA person, and I'm not a vegetarian, I'm not any of that stuff, but I was like, I can't take this picture, and I wrote, which I never bothered to do. I was like, you know what? I'm out. And then I defriended this person, somebody I knew from high school who I shouldn't even still be in contact with. I barely knew her.
Right.
And she sent me a note saying, well, I'm sorry you're offended. My husband's a hunter. And and it's like, I wasn't offended he's a hunter. There was something offensive about, like, look how beautiful this animal is that I just killed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There was a weird – and it's like
I'm
people say, yeah, but I hunt deer, but I eat it, which I guess is better than just hunting it and letting it die.
Yeah.
But still, I'm like, you don't need to go hunting to get meat.
Yeah.
We don't need to do it anymore.
It's interesting that you should say that, Hannes, because I agree with you, okay? But on the other side of my head, I'm saying, yeah, but people do hunt. People would.
I agree and disagree with myself.
No, I know what you're saying. It comes back to not the fact that they're hunting, the fact that they're posting pictures of saying, like, it does seem a bit – that's the offense
of
it.
That's
the
obnoxious
offense of it
bit.
Is on Facebook and that we have to see you next to a beautiful animal slate.
I wouldn't be able to kill something and eat it. I don't like to fraternize with my food.
Yeah.
I don't like to know. I don't like to like meet it. Like if I was at a farm and someone said like, oh, this is Bob the cow. And I'm like, hey, Bob. And then that night we're eating steaks and they're like, hey, this is Bob. That would like upset
me. You don't want the possibility of it to be able to lick you.
Yes. I don't want to know.
And I am that way too, but there's a level of hypocrisy in that.
Yes. Oh, no, I agree.
And that's the
I'm
thing is like, I'm like, I know I'm being hypocritical to say you can't go kill this thing. Now I'm going to go get a burger. I know I'm being hypocritical, but I still can't. I would kill – if I were starving and I was stuck in the woods, I'd kill an animal in a second.
Right.
But I'm not. I live in the city,
this
so I don't have to do
this. This is humanity coming through. This doesn't happen very often.
Right.
I'm glad I'm here to witness.
I would slaughter for crossing my path.
Andrew,
but
we might need to lay some music under this. Something soft, something.
Memories.
Hey, thank you so much for coming with recording with us today.
Thank you so much for having
me.
This was a lot of fun.
All right, you guys, we're going to wrap it up right about now. I want to thank everybody here at Sideshow Network, including Andrew Steven. Thanks, Andrew. And, of course, Sean Merrick over there in the back. I don't see Sean as much. You know what I mean, Hannes?
He's over in the back. He is.
You got a bigger office, and he's just kind of moved away.
But he is tied to a cross of some kind in the office. So there's some very upsetting things going on back there.
And on behalf of John Thomas Griffith, you know, he wrote the theme song to Storyworthy. It's called Follow Me.
I refuse to acknowledge his presence. He knows why. I know why. That's all that we need to say.
And on behalf of our storyteller tonight, Will Link, thank you again for coming.
Thank you so much.
And on behalf of you, Hannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host.
Stop it. Stop it.
My name is Christine Blackburn saying, make it a Storyworthy week. You can.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schleichinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.